Chapter 11. Derek rolls out of bed to find that he has a text from Stiles. "Jeep's okay," it reads. "Just needed new spark plugs. Thanks again for yesterday." He texts back, "Glad I could help," and then goes about his morning routine. He does privately wonder if there was something wrong with the spark plugs, or if they were simply missing. The use of the plural suggests the latter. He supposes something could go wrong with all the spark plugs at once, but it seems unlikely. Then again, he doesn't really know anything about cars. He doesn't hear anything from Stiles until much later in the day, and then it's a deja vu moment because Stiles asks, "Are you busy after work today?" Derek stares at the message. If something else has happened to Stiles' Jeep, there's going to be hell to pay. He tries not to jump to conclusions, but it's difficult. "No, what's up?" "Saw a stray cat downtown. Looked pretty pitiful. Thought squirrel guy might want to don cape, mask, and outside undies for a rescue." It takes Derek a minute to figure out how to make his phone do his bidding, at which point he sends Stiles a picture of Edna Mode from The Incredibles with a text that reads, "No capes!" After that, he types and sends, "Can I trade in outside undies for a carrier and a can of tuna? Where should I meet you?" "Outside the Good Egg Diner," Stiles replies. "That's where I saw it begging this morning." "I'll be there. Anytime?" Derek is already thinking about how to lure a possibly feral cat in. He looks up the diner on his phone and sees that they specialize in breakfast food. Tuna probably isn't what he wants to bring, then. Scared animals will want familiar food. "Nah, I'm just chillin' here." "Making any progress?" Derek wonders what Stiles is doing at a breakfast place so late, and if he had been there all afternoon. "She's peeked out a couple of times. Seems friendly, but shy." "So not feral. That's good." He glances at the clock. "Are you going to keep her?"
"Hadn't really thought that far ahead," Stiles replies.
"Okay, I'll be there in about 45 minutes. That will give him enough time to finish up at work, call ahead to another diner that served breakfast all day for a takeout order, and stop by a pet store for a cat carrier. Stiles' reply is a simple, "Okay," so he gets busy. It occurs to him when he's ordering the food that it's a little past 5. Stiles probably hasn't eaten, and they may be sitting around the diner for a while. So he orders enough to feed both of them, figuring that they can give the cat some scraps. Stiles is sitting at one of the outdoor tables when he gets there. The diner doesn't serve dinner, so it's obviously been closed for hours, but that doesn't seem to have stopped him from setting up camp. He's got homework spread out in front of him, and a mostly empty cup from the coffee shop around the corner. He looks up when Derek pulls into a parking spot, and his expression is a little wary, but his scent is unequivocally happy to see Derek arrive. Derek makes his way over to Stiles with the carrier in one hand and the stack of styrofoam takeout containers in the other. "Dinner for us," Derek says, giving Stiles that half-smile as he sets them down. "I figured she'd recognize this more than tuna. Maybe trust it more." He breaks off a piece of omelet and puts it in the carrier, then does the same with a piece of bacon. Then he tucks the carrier against the wall and sits down, pushing the containers toward Stiles. "I just guessed, so pick what you want." "Oh my God," Stiles says, diving in. "You're the best," he adds, mouth full, in that moment completely unself-conscious. "Says the guy who sat here all afternoon to coax out a stray cat," Derek says. "It's definitely a compliment." "Got easier when the diner closed," Stiles says, his mouth still full. "Anyway, it's not like it's a big deal. Sit at home and study, sit here and study. Oh, hey, there she is." He gestures to where a cat has poked its head from around the corner. Her fur was probably once white with some gray patches, although it's matted and stained, and her ribs are clearly visible. One ear is notched, and one eye is somewhat cloudy. Stiles tosses a piece of bacon rind over in her general direction, and she cautiously approaches. "People this morning were kicking at her," he says, his lip curling. Derek approves of the expression. It matches his feeling on the matter exactly. "What's wrong with people?" he asks rhetorically, shaking his head.
He tips his face up to the breeze and takes several short, almost delicate breaths in rapid succession through his nose. Stiles watches him in some fascination. "What do you smell?" he asks, tone curious. "About her?" Derek asks. "She's alone. There are no other cats here. No kittens waiting to be fed, and none on the way, either. She's sick, but not in a fatal way. I guess what you'd expect when you're living on someone's trash. She's not really that afraid, just cautious."
"Man, if you can smell all that about a cat 20 feet away, I hate to think what you can smell about me," Stiles blurts out.
Derek glances at him, and after a moment, shrugs a little. He senses a trap here, somewhere. "It's considered rude to try to use our sense of smell to uncover everything about a person, especially a human. Some things we can't avoid, but some we can."
Stiles tosses another bit of bacon about halfway between the cat and the carrier, and devotes himself to eating his eggs to buy himself some time. Much to Derek's relief, he doesn't demand to know what Derek can smell about him without even trying. They sit in companionable silence for a little while, as the cat considers their presence and their offerings, creeping closer to the carrier on each pass. The air is getting a little chilly, and Stiles shrugs into a hooded sweatshirt. It takes almost an hour before the cat finally ventures into the carrier. Derek is on top of it with supernatural speed, slamming the door closed behind it. Inside, it yowls and hisses, and generally expresses its displeasure with the situation. They don't let it bother them. They load it into the Jeep, and Stiles drives to Deaton's office, with Derek behind him in the Camaro. Scott is there, working, and he greets them with a broad smile. "Squirrel guy," he says, and Derek just gives him a flat, annoyed look.
"Cat guy," Stiles corrects, gesturing to the carrier. "Today it's cat guy."
Dr. Deaton checks the animal over, and says he's going to need to keep her in the clinic for a few days, because she's going to need to be dewormed and given some drops for her eye, and he's going to want to keep an eye on her weight.
"You can come pick her up on Tuesday," he says, "if you were planning to keep her, that is."
"Until I find a good home for her, at least," Stiles says, scratching underneath the cat's chin. She's forgiven him for his transgressions, and is purring against his chest. She's still feeling iffy about Derek, mostly because Derek helped Scott give her a bath. Everyone present knows damned well that Stiles is going to keep the cat, but they're all nice enough not to mention it.
"I guess I should get home," Stiles says as they leave the clinic.
Derek nods, feeling a little awkward, but no more so than usual.
"I'll talk to you soon."
"Yeah," Stiles says. Hey, he clears his throat. "I'm sorry. I'm all fucked up about this whole thing, and I haven't been fair to you, and that sucks, and I'm sorry."
Derek's quiet for a moment, wrestling back the impulse to hug Stiles silly.
"Given how things started, I don't think you've been that unfair."
"Yeah, maybe." Stiles rubs a hand over the back of his head. "But I've assigned all these nefarious intentions to you picking me, and I guess the idea of it just kind of freaks me out. Sorry if that doesn't make a lot of sense to you. I mean, I know you grew up with the idea."
Derek puts his hands in his pockets to help curb the urge to touch Stiles.
"But you didn't. That part I understand. And it's not just that I grew up with the idea, it's that it's part of our nature. We approach relationships differently from humans. But ask me? I'll never deny you an answer if you really want to know."
Stiles thinks this over for a moment.
"What's the first thing you noticed about me?"
"Your hands," Derek says, without hesitation. "The way your fingers curled around the door. That caught my attention."
"What, these skinny guys?" Stiles asks, holding both his hands up and wiggling his fingers.
Derek stares for a moment, then squeezes his eyes closed.
"Jesus, put those away."
Stiles laughs at him without any shred of remorse.
"Yeah, control yourself, Derek."
"If you keep waving your hands around like that, it's going to be difficult."
Stiles shoves his hands back into his pockets, blushing but clearly pleased.
"So, you can pick anyone, right? Like,
it's not who smells the best or who has the biggest biceps or who's learned the most about werewolves. It's just whoever you meet that feels right. Is that how it works? Derek starts to say that scent does play a part in it, that the person who feels right always has a scent that draws the werewolf in. Before the words can leave his mouth, his werewolf-to-human translator kicks in. Just like humans are taught things about werewolves, wolves are taught things about humans. One of them is that they experience scent very differently. In many ways, scent replaces verbal communication for werewolves because they use it to gauge and convey emotion. You don't have to tell your family you had a crappy day at work because they can smell it on you and know whether you want the comfort of company or of solitude. But when humans talk about smell, they mean the spices you used cooking dinner or the smell of someone's aftershave. So in the end, he nods agreement. There's no checklist or requirements. He thinks about saying more, but stops. Stiles seems to have things he needs to say, questions he needs to ask. It occurs to him that it's been years since he talked this much, since he's had so much to say that he's had to hold back. Someone today told me that you had picked me because... Stiles' voice trails off, and then he shakes his head. Never mind, it's not important. Because why? The words come out as a demand. Angry, although not angry at Stiles. Angry in a protective, even a possessive sort of way. Derek closes his eyes, takes a breath, and gets a hold of his temper. It sounds important, especially to you. What did they say? He decides to ask who said it after he fixes whatever stupid thing someone has said to Stiles now. Stiles flinches a little, swallows, and looks away. He's silent for a minute, but then squares his shoulders and meets Derek's gaze. Because I'm the sheriff's son, and you could, you know, use that to your advantage. Derek looks honestly confused, too confused to even really protest. But I didn't even know your name when I said it, first or last. I didn't get your last name until Mr. I want to jump the guy I'm coordinating for, but I'm sort of a closet case said it. What was his name? He pulls a hand out of his pocket and waves that away. Anyway, I had no idea you were the sheriff's son. Besides that, you already told me that there are other werewolves on the force. They aren't in my pack, but we're allied in the area and my mother is the head alpha for the region. He frowns a little. Who told you that? Are people worried about that sort of thing? I don't want people thinking that about you. No, like I said, it was nothing. Never mind. Stiles buries his hands deeper in his pockets. I think she was just trying to, you know, make me feel bad about, you know, everything. Derek eyes him. He's learning Stiles' avoidance signals, but he's also got that stubborn as cement smell to him now, so it isn't worth pushing. No one really wants to talk about having their feelings hurt. Well, if you see her again, tell her that she's full of crap and she should keep her opinions to herself. He still wants to move forward and pull Stiles into an embrace so badly that he's practically twitching with it, but he manages to hold back. Heh, I'll tell her that exactly. Stiles rubs a hand over the back of his head. Anyway, I'm sorry that I've been an asshole. Can we start over? Maybe just... not rush into things? Give me some time to get used to the idea? Sure, Derek says, because he's pretty sure that, yes, absolutely anything you want would not be a slow roll. Apology accepted. He figures that maybe he can make his now, and Stiles will listen if he keeps them simple. I'm sorry I went about this so badly, and for putting you on the spot in the first place. I'm sorry for my parents, too. But I'll understand if you tell me where to shove that. Yeah, okay. Though you shouldn't apologize for your parents. I mean, Stiles gives a shrug. It's not like you had any control over them. I just wish your mother didn't frickin' hate me. Mom doesn't hate you, Derek replies automatically. Stiles gives him a skeptical look. He searches for the words to explain what he knows is true, without it sounding insulting to Stiles. I think she's just angry because it's not playing out the way she hoped.
and it's easier for her to be angry with you than with me. I'm not sure. Peter likes you, he adds, which is clearly important to him. Instantly, he knows he's said the wrong thing. Styles does that turtle thing again, where he hunches up his shoulders, like he's trying to remove himself from danger. Yeah, great, he says wearily. Peter likes me. Awesome. It's not that... He sighs. I've gotta go. My dad will be home from work soon. Derek's hand comes up, not to grab, but in a don't-go pose. The same posture he had used that first day when Styles had dropped his hand and bolted from the house. Please, please don't leave. Not yet. Just talk to me. As soon as the words are out of his mouth, it occurs to him how very slow his roll was not in that moment, but there's no way to take it back now. He'll just have to man up to both mistakes, the ones he understands and the ones he's still trying to figure out. And say what? Styles asks. That everything's okay because your uncle likes me? Peter's okay. He's interesting. He kicks my ass at chess. But he's not. He nearly chokes on the words. My mother died when I was 8 years old. Okay, there are days I barely remember her. The sound of her voice or her laugh. I have pictures and all, but it isn't the same. My dad works all the time. It's not his fault, but he does. And I don't have any brothers or sisters because my mother got fucking cancer before she could have another baby. They wanted more, you know. It just didn't happen. So I'm alone, like, all the time. And then there's you. You and your stupid Henleys and your stupid smile and your stupid sports car and your stupidly gorgeous everything telling me I'll be part of your pack, part of a family, that I'll have a mother again. You know, when I was in the car with you, that's what I was thinking, that I'd have a mother again. And that was way more important to me than the fact that I might get, you know, you. I'm sorry if that's insulting, but it's true. Then your mother gives me this look, like I'm so far beneath her, I'm not even fit to polish her shoes. This look that's just pure 500% disappointment. And I'm supposed to live with that and be okay with that because your uncle likes me. Whoop-dee-fucking-do, Derek. Derek stands there, still, letting Styles get the tirade out of his system. He doesn't care that he's being yelled at, because at least Styles is telling him things. Neither of them seem to be good at that. It hurts to hear how badly Styles wanted to be part of their pack, and that his mother had ruined that, too. I'm not insulted, he finally says, tackling the least of the problems first. Pack is everything to us. You wanting to be part of that more than you wanting to be my boyfriend isn't insulting at all. But do you have any idea how happy I really am that you get along with Cora and Peter? Nobody makes Peter happy anymore, but you did. He rubs a hand over his face. Nothing can excuse what my mother did, but she's messed up. He looks away, showing Styles his throat. Your mom died, and I can't imagine that. He doesn't know what he would have done after the fire, lying there with half his pack dead, in incomprehensible amounts of pain, hearing their voices in his head, if his mother hadn't been there with him. But my mother lost 2 children, and a brother, and Aunt Olivia, and her and Peter's baby. Derek chokes as he's saying it, but forces the words out. It doesn't make what she said okay. But she was hoping for more kids. She feels like the pack is empty. She won't keep you out of the pack, won't take away your chance for a family. Can you just give her time, even if maybe she doesn't deserve it? Give her time for what? Styles asks. I'm never going to be what she wants for you, for the pack. Even if I'm what you want, that doesn't seem to matter to her, and that's never going to change. Give her time to pull her head out of her ass. To remember that what she wants from me is someone who will make me happy. Derek turns to look at Styles again, eyebrows climbing. You think this is the first argument I've had with my parents about how my life is going to go? You are what she wants for the pack, if she'd stop and think. She wants a bigger pack. Usually she can do basic math. At this, a tiny little smirk touches Styles' face. He looks away, but his posture relaxes a little. I'll think about it, he finally says. Just
Don't put me in the same room with her. Derek nods. His mother had already granted them both that, but he doesn't really think now is the time to point that out. Stiles gives another little sigh and says, I didn't mean to, like, lose my shit all over you like that. That's sort of why I didn't want to talk about it. Sorry. I'd prefer that over never dealing with it, Derek says. You sound like my father, Stiles says, but he's smiling a little. Speaking of which, I really should get going. Derek nods. I'll talk to you soon. You should come back and visit her. He waves back towards the vet's office to indicate the cat. She likes you.
Heh, yeah, everyone likes me, Stiles replies automatically.
Obviously, Derek says. But he's smiling, and after a moment, Stiles smiles back. In retrospect, Derek thinks he should have known that something weird was up with his younger sister. She's quiet all through dinner. Laura's made spaghetti, one of the few meals she can produce passably. And she doesn't smell quite the same as she usually does. Her scent is normal, but after a day at school, he's used to it being layered over with the scents of her classmates and teachers. But today she smells different, and he's not sure what that means. Talia's working late, as she so often does, and Aaron decides to bring her dinner down at the office, as he so often does. Laura goes upstairs to put the kids to bed, and Peter, well, Peter hasn't been seen in hours. Actually, Derek can't remember the last time he saw Peter. Not that this is particularly unusual. His uncle will disappear for hours or even days at a time. Hey, so, Cora says, as Derek is cleaning up the dishes from dinner. Let's say that, hypothetically, I did something you had specifically told me I shouldn't do. How mad would you be?
That depends entirely on what sort of trouble you caused.
Derek scrapes pasta that had been squashed by toddler hands into the sink and sees an opportunity. And how many of my chores you want to do?
I have caused no trouble. Everything went off without a hitch, Cora says, sticking her tongue out at him. Do your own chores.
What did you do? Derek points at her with a fork. Cora squirms.
See, okay, I maybe kind of sort of went to Stiles' school today, a little.
A little? As in, you looked at the school from the parking lot? He waves the fork in her direction. And then left?
More like I pretended to be a transfer student and talked to a bunch of people and, had lunch there.
Cora? Derek's voice is more of a growl. Did Stiles see you? If he's pissed, I am so throwing you under the bus.
Cora's hands shoot up in surrender. Hey, I was careful. You know I'd be able to smell him from 50 yards, right? I made sure he never got a chance to see me, and I went incognito. I had, like, a hat and contact lenses and everything.
A hat? Derek asks skeptically, then shakes his head. Well, it's done. Might as well hear what you learned rather than let it go to waste.
As relieved as Cora obviously is that Derek isn't pissed off at her, she shifts uncomfortably.
Okay, but promise you won't freak out, okay? Because I need to tell you this stuff while Mom and Dad aren't home, but I can't, you know, keep you from doing anything drastic if you decide to.
That bad? Derek goes back to the dishes. I won't promise not to freak out. But I do promise not to leave the house.
Fair?
Cora nods.
Hey, they called him a whorewolf.
The plate that Derek is holding slips out of his hands and hits the sink with a clank. It's the worst slur that can be applied to a human. It's used for the people who follow werewolves around and try to insinuate themselves into a pack, whether the werewolves wanted them there or not.
But he wasn't even on the list!
His teeth are clenched and the growl is only partially contained. Cora folds her arms over her stomach, the pose insecure, making her look younger than she is.
He was last year. He was making friends with Erica Reyes at the festival and, some people basically told him that he would never be good enough and that basically he was contaminating the whole process just by showing up. One of them, kind of the ringleader, was all pissed because, I'm going to quote here, I told that little bitch not to dare show his face this year, but he had to come sniffing around anyway. Derek's claws make a horrible noise against the metal of the sink as he puts together why Stiles has refused to talk about this in the past. It jars him back into reality and makes some of the red fade out of his vision. He jerks his hand back upward and stops the shift with some effort. Well, I guess in a way the asshole was right to fear for his own chances while Stiles was there to be chosen, but I can't imagine anyone wanting to bring someone like that home. Derek, it's not just that one guy, Cora says. It's like some sort of sickness. They're all so bitter and jealous. They really hate him for stealing their chances. I watched him walk into the cafeteria. He didn't see me. And someone just slapped his tray of food out of his hands. And he just stood there, so fucking resigned. It was weird to see him like that. Derek just stares at her, confused, because Stiles is many things, but passive isn't one of them. What chance? I never would have even met them. Cora flaps a hand at him and says, not their chance with you, just, I don't know. They're all still waiting for you to dump him and pick a real mate, to quote again. Oh, one of those simpering little fucks with their fake laughs and their fake sense and their surety that joining their pack would mean that they could sit on their asses getting fat for the rest of their lives? But Dara, this doesn't make any sense, Cora says, her voice distressed. They've got it all wrong. They don't seem to have a clue what the searching ceremony is about. How could all these people have gotten on the list if they don't understand what being on the list means? This isn't like clicking past the list of terms and conditions. This is important. And Stiles got it right, even if he wasn't on the list, and now he's being persecuted for it. Derek turns away from the sink and leans a hip against the counter, trying to engage his brain past the anger. Those kids that you talk to, would you say they thought they had a real shot at being chosen by one of us? Oh, yeah, Cora says. I mean, not you. You're not in their age group. Not that it always matters, clearly. But one of the other younger wolves, or when they get a few years older, I mean, they talk about it like it's some status symbol that they've spent years working towards. Did they have a chance in hell? Cora barks out a short laugh. Well, not with me. But you know what Peter says. You can't ban assholes from the searching because sometimes werewolves are assholes too. Are you sure? Derek arches his eyebrows at her. But seriously, when did this turn into a status thing? Well, Cora squirms a little. A lot of people think werewolves are better than humans because of the way we heal and the things we can do. So there is an honest status caste sort of thing going on there that you can't totally ignore, but somehow that's gotten mixed up in the mating rituals, which isn't how they work. Because before humans sign up for the mating rituals, they're supposed to learn about all the stuff that isn't awesome about us or about living with us. Derek shakes his head. They're totally clicking past it. Cora shifts. Derek, we should tell Mom about this. No. Derek's voice is firm and final. But Dare, Cora says, something's wrong, and it's bigger than us. You're totally right, except that it will have Mom asking Stiles all sorts of questions and demanding information from him that he isn't even ready to give me. He can't even be in the same room as Mom right now. No. Cora chews on this for a few moments. Well, I guess it's been going on long enough that it won't hurt to wait a while before we tell her, she finally says. But what are you going to do about Stiles in the meantime? He can't go back there. Derek, he can't. Are you going to be the one to tell him that? Derek asks, although he really doesn't like the idea of Stiles walking into what sounds like a pit of vipers every day. Ugh, no, Cora responds automatically, and then winces. Okay, but maybe we can say something to the principal. I mean, about the bullying. They're just looking the other way while it happens, and that's not okay. Or maybe we can tell his dad. You said his dad was helping you out. Derek shakes his head a little frantically. Can you imagine what Mom or Dad would do? How far they'd fly off the handle?
if this was happening to you or me, Sheriff Stilinski would do the same thing. And then we're back to having broken Stiles' trust. He shakes his head again and looks down. No, we'll just keep our mouths shut until he's ready to say something or ask for help, so he has someone he can ask for it from. Cora sighs. Okay, then I guess it's just, we need to make sure he knows we're there for him, even if he doesn't want us to be. That I'll agree to. Derek is quiet for a long minute, and I hate to say it, but I'm curious as to why that guy thought he had the right to tell Stiles whether or not he could be on the list, and what Stiles did to make people want him out of the way. Okay, Dare, you're way overthinking the first one, Cora says dryly. He thought he had the right because he's a teenage douchebag. He's been popular since he was 3, and he's the captain of the lacrosse team, and girls fawn over him, and so he just told Stiles he can't be on the list next year, and he had the right because if Stiles didn't listen, he'd make his life miserable. Miserabler. Well, I don't like it, Derek says. He feels it's necessary to put that out there. Noted, Cora says. Now go get yourself a date. It's Stiles' birthday next week, in case you didn't know. You're forgiven for snooping. There's a long pause. Jesus, give a socially incompetent man a hand. What she gives him is an overly dramatic eye roll. Try asking him what he wants to do for his birthday. 'Cause, you know, it's his birthday. Yes, and how would I have found out about his birthday? Derek says. How did you find out about his birthday? Cora sighs. One of the kids at school mentioned that they were planning something for his birthday, so I looked it up. He had paperwork from last year, you know, when he was on the list. Derek makes a mental note to find Stiles' file from the previous year. Planning something good? Or planning something that will result in me having to find a way to covertly murder people. Speaking of which, do you happen to know where Uncle Peter is? Look, as much as I'm sure Uncle Peter would be thrilled to give you tips on how to covertly murder people, I'm thinking that you should maybe keep a lid on things, Cora says. But I don't think they plan to throw him a party. Derek sighs and rubs both hands over his face. One disaster at a time, he says under his breath, and Cora nods and agrees, and although she laughs, neither of them really think it's funny.